Audible.com is the leading provider in spoken word entertainment, including books, magazines, newspapers, and podcasts. They have over 35,000 books to choose from, including a large selection of conservative titles. Log on to townhall.com/audible to get a free audiobook download when you sign up today. Again, it's townhall.com/audible for your free audiobook.
Hey, it's the Happiness Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. Yep, every week at this time come hell, high water, frogs, mice, vermin, hail, darkness, smiting of the firstborn. We talk about happiness. And here we go, folks. I took a vote. It was overwhelming that I sing along. So get ready, and I want you to as well. It's the happy, 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 happy. It's the happy, 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 happy. All righty, everybody, that's correct. I consider happiness that important that no matter what happens, I devote an hour to it each week. We have a moral obligation to be as happy as possible. Life is hard for everyone. Harder for some, admittedly, but it's hard for everyone. Not only that, but I have found little correlation between how difficult people's lives are and their happiness level. Because, by and large, the unhappy are unhappy under just about every circumstance, and the happy are happy under just about every circumstance. That is the way in which people work out their lives, and you owe it to everyone in your life to act, at least act as, and try to be as happy as possible. It is a moral obligation. The older I get, the more I admire, not envy, admire happy people, people who have a happy disposition. It's very easy to be moody, very easy, and very, very narcissistic. I have little tolerance for it. Now, today's subject is a new happiness idea. And I am working this through, and I am very, therefore, very interested in your reactions. And to explain it, I will use the Titanic, the famous ship that sunk in 1912. It was declared to be unsinkable, and human hubris, in fact, let it down. It hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic and went down. The analogy I will use is that we are all ships afloat, and that many of us sink. I don't mean die, we all die, I'm not talking about death, I'm talking about sinking, that life will drown us because it's so difficult. Why did the Titanic sink? The Titanic had watertight compartments, and it would be fine if some compartments had water. The ship could still stay afloat. It is when the divisions between the compartments were torn that the ship sank, because the water was not contained in any given one, two, or three, or whatever the number that can contain water and keep the ship afloat was, whatever that number was. How is that an analogy to our life? Every one of us takes on to our ship of life, takes on water. We will stay afloat if we can leave that water in compartments. So my argument today on this Happiness Hour, on this edition of the Happiness Hour, is that in order to stay afloat, you must compartmentalize your pain, your suffering, your problems. If you allow the compartments to break down, and or you just destroy your compartments, then you will drown. The water will seep into all of the bottom of your ship, and you will go down. You have to compartmentalize to survive. You have terrible suffering or terrible pain in compartment A. Well, then don't let that suffering, that water, go into compartments B, C, D, and E. I know that for many people, compartmentalization is a negative. And maybe it is, and you will convince me that this theory of mine is wrong. I'm open to that, totally open to it. But it seems to me that I don't know of another way to keep afloat. The phone number is 1-8-PRAGER-776, 1-8-P-R-A-G-E-R-776, which in digits is 877-243-7776, 877-243-7776. Do you have an instinctively negative reaction to compartmentalization? I know I've heard it as a judgment, a negative judgment on people. Oh, he compartmentalizes. But what is the alternative? That you allow your pain to engulf you? Why is that a good one? Those of you who have had a terrible loss, if you can't compartmentalize, I mean, I'll talk about the worst possible loss, the loss of a child. I'll take the worst possible pain, generally speaking. And how does some people go on? Well, there are many answers to that, and many of you have called in who have lost a child over the course of the years of the Happiness Hour, and I have learned a great deal from you. But one way is you compartmentalize. In other words, yes, that pain is searing. It is horrific, excruciating pain. But why does that pain have to leak into every other area of my life? Whatever your particular pain is. You had a terrible divorce, and most of the time, the terrible divorce is redundant. Divorce is very, very painful. Okay, but then you have other areas of life from which you derive happiness, other compartments. You put that compartment, you don't deny it, that compartment's existence. That's not the issue. Whatever the pain that is in your life. So what you do is you focus on, to stay afloat, you focus on keeping the other compartments empty as much as possible of water. You celebrate the good compartments. That's what you do. I don't see an alternative to this. Melissa in Culver City, California. Melissa, Dennis Prager, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a preschool teacher and a new mother, and I'm on my way to a funeral of a very good friend of mine.
I'm so sorry. How old is was your friend?
He was my age, and he died of a stroke, 37.
Oh, it's terrible. Go on.
However, you know, I have 2 hours to do this. I have to manage my time, and when I get back to class, I have to be, you know, sunshine and loving and charming. And I learned this lesson a few years back when my husband was in Iraq. We had very small children. And in front of the kids, yes, I allowed them their time to grieve and ask questions. And, you know, a few times I did go down to that emotional level. But for the most part, when the kids went to bed at 10 o'clock, I cried in the shower, which is what I plan to do tonight. I don't have the luxury. I'm a grown-up. I'm a mom. I have responsibilities, but I don't have the luxury of just, you know, turning my life and tearing it apart, nor would my friend want me to do that. So I believe some people take mourning and they make it into a their lifestyle. And I mean no disrespect to people who have had great losses, but, you know, sometimes...
That's right.
Have...
Melissa, you are... Is your husband back?
Yes, and he's a better man for the trip. But it was a very difficult 2 years where we all grew up.
Yes. So. Well, growing up actually makes one happier in the final analysis, but we live in a society which celebrates eternal youth or eternal immaturity, even worse. You're very special. Thank you. So there she is, listening on the way to a funeral. And exactly, the funeral of a friend, it's one of the things I most shudder of, the death of any of my friends. I've talked about that so often, how the role that they have played in my life. It can often be more searing, the death of a friend, than the death of a family member. But she's compartmentalizing. You have to. That's my point to you. You can't go on. Your ship cannot stay afloat if you let the water seep into other compartments. That's how you have to. That is how, if you want to stay afloat. There are people for whom staying afloat is not what guides them. And then they wonder why they're sinking. We return in a moment. My advocacy of compartmentalizing your suffering, your pain, as the only way to sustain yourself afloat. 1-8-PRAGER-776, the Happiness Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. Dennis Prager here. This is the Happiness Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. Every week, an hour at this time devoted to the subject of happiness, which I consider to be one of the most important things in life. Happy people make the world better, and the world is made worse, by and large, by unhappy people. That's the way it is, and we all have reasons for unhappiness. My topic today is a new one, and I am working it through with you. And that is my advocacy of compartmentalizing pain and suffering. And I use the ship analogy of watertight compartments. The ship sinks not when there is some water in any of those compartments, but when the water goes into all the compartments. Likewise, your ship of life will sink if your suffering is not compartmentalized, but goes through all of your ship and all of the compartments. So it's an advocacy of a word that is often used pejoratively. Oh, what do you compartmentalize? Yeah, I do, in fact. 1-8-PRAGER-776, and let's take some more of your calls here, and we go to Philadelphia and Bill. Hi, Bill. Dennis Prager.
Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I think compartmentalization got a bad rap when it was a very high profile terminology used during the Clinton administration, when you had this very effective U.S. president compartmentalizing his personal flaws. You have people who compartmentalize their alcoholism and drug abuse, but are nonetheless very successful in other areas of their life. It's when you compartmentalize things that you do that are harmful to others that's deleterious. But I think compartmentalizing personal pain and suffering is a necessary coping mechanism to get through every day and to show that happy face that I believe is a very important thing to do for those around you. I believe that it's the moral thing to do, as you have always said.
Yeah. The Clinton analogy, and I was not a supporter of his, nevertheless, it's a very fair one. What would we have want him to do, to break down and not be able to function? And you're right. That's exactly right. The president of the United States has to function in any event, as it were, and so do we. And so do we. Now, if you compartmentalize, I think people use it as a negative when they think of people who ignore their life, who ignore what is happening, and who are impervious to anything else, they put up these great barriers to being real. But that's not compartmentalization. That's just not being real. That's different. We go to Teresa in Fort Stewart, Georgia. Teresa, Dennis Prager, hi.
Hello. I do agree with you about compartmentalization. In the last few months, I've been learning how to compartmentalize because it's been hard to do that, and so I'm working through depression. And I try to put my trials into two categories, ones that I can take action with and ones that I have to turn over to God. And like with losing weight, that's on me, right? And that I can take steps to help it. But with my husband deploying, I have had to turn that over to the Lord. But through doing that,
do you know the 12-step prayer that is precisely that? I don't have a good memory for exact lines, but it is precisely about that, to grant us the wisdom to distinguish between that which we can do something about and that which we have to accept.
I think I have heard that before.
Yeah, it's much better than I said it, but I'll read it later. But that's what you're working through.
Mm-hmm. And I'm turning it over to the Lord, and He's helping me with that. I just, I can't do anything about it. I've been so much more able to enjoy the beautiful moments that we share with our kids and with our family.
That's right. And I bless you for what you're doing and your family is doing, because it's not just your husband, it's your whole family.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. And let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. Jackie, Dennis Prager, thank you for calling.
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
I have to tell you, I read your happiness book prior to the holidays, and I bought 25 copies and gave them to all my friends and relatives.
Did they read it? Did they read it?
I hope they did. I could only do so much, but I gave it to them. I read it.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, I was calling. I lost my husband to Hodgkin's several years ago, and I lost my dad 6 months after I lost my husband. And, you know, you're right. I had a two-year-old son at the time, and I picked about three people that I could completely melt down to. And the rest of the time, I just tried to get up in the morning and, you know, put a smile on my face and, you know, look at my son and do the best that I could. And, you know, it was very, very helpful. I didn't see the purpose in melting down to, you know, every single person I would run into when they would ask me how I was doing. They knew I was struggling. And you know, it was just one of those very difficult times, but it was very helpful, and I didn't even know I was doing it.
I'm just listening. That's the reason I'm silent. You're very eloquent about what you did.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, it was tough, but it's funny. I listen to you every Friday. I didn't even know of you as of 3 months ago, and I can't wait for your Friday programs.
Well, as a little note, and I'm very delighted, it's a good show Thursdays, too.
I listened to you yesterday. My
okay,
girlfriend called and said, are you listening to talk radio? I said, I absolutely am.
Oh, bless you. I'm honored to have you as a listener.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Very impressive folks out there. There are a lot of you. You know my old line, I have contempt for humanity, but I have great love and admiration for many humans. And it is reinforced every day by the news and by my interaction with many of you on the program. That's your choice. Look at what she went through. It's, you don't, by compartmentalizing, you don't deny. What you do is you enable the ship to stay afloat. You don't want to sink, correct? Correct? Okay, and we go on here, and we go to Q. I guess you didn't want to give your name, in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Q, Dennis Prager.
Dennis, actually, that is my name. I run a site called IraqWarHeroes.org. It's a tribute site to our fallen
heroes. Wait a minute.
Heroes.
Your name is Q?
Correct.
How do you spell it?
It's an O with a squiggly mark. You know?
It's an O with a squiggly mark?
Yeah, Q.
Why am I missing something here?
You're not.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Now you mean it is the letter Q?
That is correct.
Was that your given name?
No.
Mm-hmm. Is that your legal name now?
Yeah, that was my adopted name.
Okay, all right, we'll take your call in a moment, Q. How ironic, because I have a call here from R, one from S, and one from T. And now you never know. It's every day. It's just a new experience on talk radio. I will be back in a moment. My advocacy is for compartmentalizing or your ship sinks. You are listening to the Happiness Hour on the Dennis Prager Show.
Comes and goes in a minute.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Where's the real...
The Happiness Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. 1 hour each week devoted to this extremely important subject. The happy make the world better than the unhappy do. So it's a big, big deal. My subject today is compartmentalizing. Just as a ship can only stay afloat if it compartmentalizes water leaks, so too we stay afloat if we compartmentalize our suffering leaks. And we go to Q in Portland. Back to you, Q. Dennis Prager.
Hey, Dennis.
Hi.
I run a site called IraqWarHeroes.org. And one of the things that I do on the side is I attend memorial services and funeral services for our heroes that have given it all serving in the military over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I see a lot of grief, and I myself feel a lot of grief. And then I remind myself each day that I get a little bit on the depressed side doing this, that why each one of these men and women gave their all to defend this country, to defend our way of life, to defend freedom. And one of the reasons that I go to these memorial services is I photograph them for the families. I do this for free, so they have this to reflect on later.
Well, this is
time of grief. In time of grief, you don't see who all comes out to see you. You don't see who all your supporters are. You miss a lot, and I try to capture all of this for the family so they can reflect to it later.
Well, I thank you for it. I appreciate it very much. I don't know what that has to do exactly with compartmentalizing, but I certainly honor and what you do. Let's go to Doug in Baltimore. Dennis Prager. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Dennis. I just wanted to relate to your audience. There's actually a very interesting website that was based on most of the research out of the University of Pennsylvania around happiness, pessimism, optimism. And what you're talking about really made me think about the explanatory style that people have when something bad happens. So Dr. Seligman talks about it as, you know, when something bad happens, you either say that it's personal, pervasive, or permanent. And what happens typically when a bad event happens is a pessimist will say, well, it happened because of me. And they'll say that it's going to happen all the time. And then they talk about pervasiveness, about how it bleeds into the rest of their lives. And what I was going to relate to your audience was there's a really interesting psychological assessment on authentichappiness.org where people can take what's called the SASQ. It's the Seligman Attributional it basically tells you what your explanatory style is, and then gives you some tips on how you can, you know, as in your words, compartmentalize things so that you don't lead to, you know, a depressive type of thinking style, which we all know leads to eventually depression.
Yep, maybe one of the reasons for depression, I mean, there are many, obviously, and many of them are physiological, I'm told, but maybe one of them is that people don't know how to compartmentalize or feel incapable of doing so, but that's exactly what you have to be able to do, and that is why it is so important to seek and find it. That is a subject I've talked about often on the Happiness Hour, that you maximize your sources of happiness. The more, the better. The more things that can bring you joy in life, the better. Otherwise, it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to stay afloat. And we go to Marsha in Sherman Oaks, California. Marsha, Dennis Prager, hi.
Hi, Dennis. I want you to know I'm a huge fan of the Happiness Hour. I keep the MP3s I download on a player, and I listen to them whenever I travel and whenever I can. I love it.
Thank you. That's great.
But I do want you to know, I really believe that sometimes defining what we can change and what we can't change, if you compartmentalize too many things in your life, I think it can keep you from growing. It can keep you in a marriage that you shouldn't be in when the negatives grow and grow and grow, and you keep compartmentalizing and you keep compartmentalizing. You don't grow into the happy person you can be.
That's very true. You're a wise woman.
Thank you, Dennis. I'll write that down and keep it forever.
Well, it's meant. I don't use it often. And you're right. And it shows the dangers of almost anything that you can advocate. I'll explain when we come back. Dennis Prager here. This is the Happiness Hour every week at this time. And I am working through. I do that with you. I've worked through all my ideas in life with you on talk radio. And as I approach my 25th anniversary of broadcasting, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. It's eerie. And I have raised this issue of compartmentalization, that if you allow pain to slip into all of your area, the pain from one compartment of your life, then like a ship with its watertight compartments, if they break down and the water goes through the whole ship, it will sink. But as Marcia, the last caller, pointed out, that could also prevent you from some growth because you are not confronting. You may not be confronting, depending on what the area is, you may not be confronting the issue as you should. You have so effectively compartmentalized it. And I believe that that can happen. I also believe that what I'm saying is true, and that is why there are so many fine lines in these issues of maintaining a happy life. She's right, and I'm right, and it's not one of these Buddhist notions of the sound of one hand clapping. All right, let's go. In fact, we have a point to this very very issue from Denver. Sylvia. Hi, Sylvia. You're a therapist?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm surprised I got through. I've tried before and hadn't made it.
I'm glad you did.
I've experienced working with clients who have compartmentalized things to the extent that it generalizes, and they end up not having access to even happiness or positive feelings because they compartmentalized to the point that they basically are automatons just sort of going through life on autopilot. And so it has to be done with caution, and you really need to probably have some place to process through the pain that you're trying not to have seep into other areas.
Well, how about saying this? If I can continue with my ship metaphor, that you try to take care of any of the compartments that got flooded.
Right.
I'm not arguing to ignore those compartments. I'm arguing to keep them closed from infecting the rest of you.
Okay. And I appreciate that point of view, and I think we're on the same page that you have to do something to work on that compartment to, you know, drain out the water or whatever.
Yes.
Or else the pressure.
All right. Well, that's
right
a good.
Through.
All right. That's a good addition. Then that's a good addition. You see, that's what I said. I'm going to work this through, and I have a lot of therapists who listen to this hour and who use my book, and that means a great deal to me. 1-8-PRAGER-776. So let me review this for those of you listening, and which is really all of you, since if you're not listening, it's not like an okay. I won't get hyper involved in that. When I advocate compartmentalization, I am not advocating ignoring the water that has come into the compartments that are flooded. No, I am advocating not allowing that water to seep into the good compartments, the healthy compartments. So this is a very important a little addendum to what I was saying. Yeah, of course you work on it to the best of your ability, but there are things you can't work on. I mean, what you lose a loved one, what does it mean you work on? They can't come back. There's nothing you can do specifically about that, but you can enjoy other compartments. You can try to stay afloat by noting that there are compartments that have not been flooded. So that's the way that I would put it. And let's go to D in Loma Linda, California. D, Dennis Prager, thank you for calling.
Happy, happy Friday to you, Dennis.
Thank you.
I had a husband die of a heart attack, a 19-year-old son and a 16-year-old daughter die in a car accident in under
Wait a minute. Wait, this happened to you?
Yes, yes.
Can you review that one more time?
Yes, a husband who died of a heart attack.
How old was he?
He was 40, and a 19-year-old son and a 16, well, a daughter who was 1 week
old. How did the 19-year-old son die?
My children died in a car accident. 19-year-old son and a 16-year-old daughter.
When did this happen?
This is nearly 20 years ago.
So it all happened at about the same time?
Yes, a year and a half. But, Dennis, I am a lover of life and a good self-talker, and I remember when my husband died, a couple weeks later, I remember saying out loud to myself, thank God I will not always feel like this. That was my first compartment. But what I wanted to share with you is I love to talk about my children. I must say losing children is even harder than losing a spouse. I love to talk about them and laugh and tell stories, and I like to think about them. But sometimes in my quiet moments, I'll be thinking about them and kind of just replaying that tape, the day that they died, the funeral and all that. And then I say, okay, enough of that. And I close that compartment because it's going to impact the day that I'm entering.
Did you remarry?
Yes.
Has it been good?
Yes, I have a good relationship, and I have wonderful stepdaughters, grown adults.
I wish you as much happiness as life can ever provide, and I sit here, and my biggest reaction to you is admiration.
Well, thank you, and I admire you too, Dennis.
Thank you. It means a lot to me. The great are not famous, and the famous are not great. And I just spoke to a great person who I suspect is not famous. That's all I can say. We'll be back in a moment. I'm still thinking about Dee's call. I would like every one of you who knows somebody who complains a great deal to play Dee's call to them. I mean, go to PragerRadio.com, download the show, and play that call. Forget me, play her. Well, she certainly utilized beautifully the metaphor that I have been talking about this happiness hour, about compartmentalizing our suffering and pain. And that way you have to work it through. That way you stay afloat. Downingtown, Pennsylvania, Sue. Hello, Sue. Dennis Prager.
Hi, Dennis. I just want you to know that I listen to your show every day, and it was my husband who said that I have to listen to Dennis Prager. And so I've been listening, and I really have gotten so much from it.
Thank you very much. Thank your husband on my behalf.
Okay. I think he might be listening in his car right now.
What's his name?
His name is Dick.
Dick, thanks. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I have been trying to compartmentalizing my pain. I have had chronic pain for 4 years.
You mean physical pain?
Physical pain.
Mm-hmm. That's hard. You have to try, but that's harder.
It's hard.
Because
it's really, really hard.
Yeah, because it's not just in the psyche where you can move things around. It's in the body, and you can't move that around.
No, that's right. You're absolutely right.
No, I know that. I know.
Yeah, and I've given up a lot. I mean, I've given up my job. I've given up my car. I've given up, you know, visiting friends.
What's causing it?
Well, it's called, it's a chronic pudendal nerve problem, and it's not curable.
Mm-hmm.
But they can give you, a lot of medication.
Well, take it and enjoy everything that you can. But I acknowledge that constant physical pain does permeate you. It's very hard not to. But listen, even there, one has to make this attempt and extract the joys you can. And obviously, you make that attempt. It's clear to me. My friends, everybody suffers. Everybody. And one of the ways in which we can go on is by concentrating on those compartments that are still relatively free of the water that can sink us. And now call in on anything on your mind.